Forgot to make the announcement. Next Sunday is the last pancake breakfast till November. So if anybody wants to go, support Firehouse Community.
Okay.
I'll be in the woods.
That is one of the two breakfasts that the church is sponsoring, so just come and say you're part of Calvary Harvest. If you don't see me there or I don't see you, just make sure you let them know that so it gets covered. And we will be meeting there before church. 8:30 is a good time? Okay. Thanks, Roger, for bringing that up. I appreciate Roger and as he brings, you know, bringing us out into the community and helping us get outside of the four walls, whether it's stocking trout streams or going to rub elbows with our firemen and firewomen over there. It doesn't matter what it is. We're getting out and rubbing elbows with the community, and I'm very thankful for Roger for that.
That being said, the trout were stocked in Northbrook, too, if anybody wants to go and try to catch them.
Now you can go catch them. All right. We're in John chapter 16, if you'd turn there with me. John chapter 16, verse 12, we're picking up. We'll read 12 through 15 this morning. Father, thank you. Bless your word this morning. It's powerful. Approach it with fear and trembling sometimes because I know the power that's behind it. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. 12 through 15 say this, I have yet many things to say unto you, Jesus talking to his disciples the last hours before he would be crucified. He's not going anywhere else. He's not going to Bethany. He's not going down to Samaria. He's not going anywhere else. This is it. He's at the place he's going to be in Jerusalem. And now he's going to pray with his disciples. He's teaching them. This is the swan song of Jesus last week we talked about. We went into Psalm 22, 23, 24, the trilogy there of Jesus Christ, the swan song, the last words that he would give us. Even known before he was on this earth, these words were given to us in the Psalms. They would be written hundreds of years before that. So many things Jesus has to say to them. Can you imagine that? Just like, oh man, there's, wait, just like Roger was this morning. One more thing. You know, there is, he just had that in him. You can imagine he was just about ready to burst all the things that he wanted to impart on them. But he's like, he had to have that patience and know that it was going to be the Holy Spirit that would bring them into the rest of the truth. And when that happened, that's how the Bible came to be. Some people say, well, where'd the Bible come from? How did it come to be? This is how it came to be. Jesus still had many things to say, and he would send the Holy Spirit to the apostles, to the people of that time, and they would write the scripture, and we would have this Bible here before us today. So the many things we could see in the book of Romans, Ephesians, Galatians, Revelation, those are the many things that he would tell us from that point. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He certainly did. Revelation's all about the things to come. Thessalonians is all about the things to come. This isn't a history book. It's a history and a future. You know, it talks about our origins, it talks about our destinations, it talks about the world, its origins and its destinations. So it covers the things that have taken place, the things that are taking place, and the things that will take place in the future. So the Holy Spirit is going to be given. He shall glorify me, it says in verse 14, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father have are mine. Therefore, said I, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. You guys see anything here? You see the Father giving to the Son, giving to the Spirit. You see the relationship, the most perfect relationship that you'll ever know isn't the Joneses, isn't so-and-so, it isn't whoever you might think it is. It's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Every other relationship strives to get to be like that. And he gives us the tools to be so. So we're going to talk about that today. Three elements being brought out here in 16 leading into 17 about the relationship of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And it's a relationship so perfect that if you were to describe it any other way than one, it would be an error. It would be inaccurate. It would be not correct. Chapter 17 speaks of this oneness, this unity. And he wants us to have this unity in our relationships with him and with others. This oneness. So 17 is a powerful conclusion of his teaching leading into a prayer for unity. But let's talk about this relationship today of Father, Son, and Spirit. And what you might not know and what you might kind of pull back on a little bit is the word submission and obedience. This is a element, an aspect of if you were to take it out, you would no longer have love, including God. If you take submission and obedience away from the Godhead, you no longer have a God that is love. You distort love. Love becomes something else. It crumbles. God falls apart in that, in your understanding of him. Submission and obedience are keys to love. They are necessary. They're essential. If you take them out, you don't have love anymore. So a loving marriage has submission and obedience. You take that out, you have something else, maybe a business relationship, maybe something else that the world defines, and maybe you get along fine that way, that's okay. But what God has called us into is something greater, something more powerful, and that's called love, and that's who he is. God isn't a producer of love, he is love. And when we have God dwelling in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, we produce love. It's a natural product of having God, who is love, dwelling inside of you. So three different elements looking at today of this relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit, which is love. We're going to look at submission, giving, and glory. Submission, giving, and glory. You take any of those elements out, you don't have love anymore. You may have a partnership, you might have some type of agreement, you might have whatever. And a lot of times you need lawyers for that kind of thing. But when there's love, there is no law. You don't even need rules. Because love takes care of all of that. It takes care of itself. Love without submission is not love. Love without submission is not love. Even in the Godhead, you see this. And this is where people get into confusion about the triune God. That means the Trinity, three. Three persons in one God. Three distinct persons in one God. People run into confusion and difficulty with that because they see this order of submission. The Son submitting to the Father, the Spirit submitting to the Son. If you take that out, you no longer have love. They couldn't be God. They couldn't be triune if you take submission out. So that's an important aspect to understand because we take and we draw out of that into our relationships down here. So submission removed is no longer love. Love involves submission. That's number one. The second one was giving. Submission without giving is slavery. Submission and obedience without giving is slavery. You see in these verses that the Father's giving to the Son. And what the Son has now, he gives to the Spirit. So the Spirit submitting to the Son, submitting to the Father, and now there's giving going on in that. So we're breaking out love here and the elements of it, the dynamics of love. And that submission, giving, and glory. Love without submission is not love. Submission without giving is not love. It's slavery. Submission, obedience without giving becomes slavery. People are familiar with submission and that word, and we recoil a little bit from it. because of the connotations that go with it, associations, that it's some type of slavery, someone having this lordship over you. But in the context of giving, Ephesians 5 talks about it this way. Husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ did. How did Christ love the church? By giving his life for her. Husbands, love your wives in that same fashion. What do you got to give your wife? Flowers on Valentine's Day? It's a little more than that. Candy on whatever? It's a little more than that. It's quite a bit more. It's your whole cotton-picking life! Give your life as Christ gave it. Lay your life down. You don't have to get the last word in. That's a form of getting the of giving your life or giving it up for her. Submission, obedience, without giving, it's slavery. You can even bring this into the relationships of the military. And we're going to talk about that in unity. How can a platoon be victorious in a battle? Is it just submission and obedience? Is it strictly all about that? Or is it tied to something else? It's tied to something else. It's called glory. And that's the third one. Submission, giving, and now glory. Giving without glory is dead works. Giving your life, whatever it is, sacrificing your life, whatever it is, laying down your life without glory is a dead work. When you become a robot and you lay my life down, I'm giving out of selfish reasons, whatever it is. Without glory is dead works. So just in these three chapters here, in particular what we're in today here, the Father giving to the Son, giving to the Spirit conveying Christ, who conveys the Father, I see this flow here of submission unto giving unto glory. And that makes up this loving relationship that's so perfect, that we say, holy, holy, holy. Father, Son, and Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. Their love is complete. They're whole. It's not lacking. It's not a needy type of thing. It's full. It's filled. Giving without glory is dead works. That's the third one, is glory. This brings into the purpose of things, and that's the joy that he's going to talk about in the next verses coming up here. The glory of God is the love of God, and that's the joy, the peace, the patience, the long-suffering. That's the glory of God. Giving without that glory is dead works. 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 9, I remember the 9, I don't remember which Corinthians it is, talks about giving out of a heart, out of a joyful heart, a cheerful heart. So giving without glory, without that purpose, that joy, the kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, is a dead work. So if you're interested in the perfect relationship, better than anything the Love Boat has ever put out in their program, if you guys are old enough to remember that show, is the love of God that exists in the perfect Trinity. I have no problem with the Trinity until I try to dissect it into something that it's not. But to receive from it and simply be wowed by it, I receive a lot when I see the Father giving to the Son, giving to the Spirit, and the elements that go on there. God is love. He just doesn't love as an exercise, as something he decides to do once in a while. He is love. Mm-hmm. Who is this one that we've been made in the image of? Well, you've been made in the image of love. What became tarnished on the tree of disobedience when we decided to turn our back on God? Love became tarnished. We started to fall short of the glory of God, which is love. Our love became corrupt. Relationships became strained. Self-centeredness entered in the equation. Let's look back just a couple of chapters at chapter 7, verse 18. Jesus here talking about giving the glory to the Father here. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeks his glory that sent him, the Father, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him, pure and holy. That's what holiness is. When you're seeking the glory of others, you're lifting others up above yourself. You're esteeming them higher. My relationship I've shared many times with Gretchen went through the roof, it went through the ceiling, it went out into orbit when I started to esteem her higher than myself. I started to see the glory about her. Giving without glory is dead works. God opened my eyes to the glory about her. Instead of being the piece of furniture she was in my life, you know, the chair I sat on or the refrigerator I opened up for refreshment, all of a sudden God opened my eyes to this glorious human being that he has blessed me to share my life with, and everything changed. Love started to happen on the scale of God, not on the human scale, the fleshly scale. That's a tough row to hoe there. That's a tough life to live, living in the aspect of our tarnished love. We need to be saved right now. Today is the day of your salvation, to get on that tree of life, to bear the real fruit of the love of God, to really be able to love people. Submission, giving, and glory. Could you imagine someone coming up to you and saying, you know, I'm going to commit my life to you, richer or poorer, or sickness and health, or better or worse? Can you imagine the gravity of that? I think we lose sight of that in wedding ceremonies because there's beautiful dresses and there's decorations and there's music and different things going on. But can you just remove all of that hoopla out of the way for a minute? And somebody comes up to you, this human being comes up to you and says, I want to commit my life to you. No matter what, unconditionally, rich or poor, sickness or health, better or worse, I'm going to commit my life to you. Unconditional love. Submission, giving, and glory. Let's look at a few verses to support that. Romans 8:15. To the right. I'll tell myself. Romans 8:15. Don't be afraid of the word submission, because when it's tied into submission with giving and glory, you have something that's very holy, very awesome, something worth living and dying for. The word brings us into this place of understanding that's a little deeper. Romans 8:15 speaks it this way. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. For you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, dear Daddy. Mark 14:36, to the left. Mark 14:36. You went too far, whoever's still turning. God bless you. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. Man, I have a hard time not just losing it right here. And this is the same spirit that dwells in the holy, holy, holy Trinity of God, who says that he hasn't given us a spirit that's anything about fear, of that slavery type of thing. It's about a spirit of adoption, that you've been, that you're the apple of his eye, you're under the shadow of his wing, that type of relationship. Here you see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, verse 36 of chapter 14 in Mark. The spirit of adoption, here you see him doing exactly the same thing. The same spirit that he's placed in us. Here you see that spirit crying out in the garden, dear daddy, I'm going to die. I'm going to be beaten like a hamburger. I'm going to die. Dear daddy, This isn't out of slavery. There's something glorious that's happening here. There's something wonderful that's happening here. The submission of the Son that's happening here is so holy. It's so wonderful. It speaks of love. It speaks of love. It speaks of love. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. All things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thou will. Him laying that down, his will to the Father. That submission that you see happening there is love. It's not of slavery. Do you see the difference today? One cries out, "Dear Daddy," and the other says, "Yes, sir." It's out of love, and that's the glory of this situation that's happening here. The relationship that he has with his Father, that he would lay down his life. It's not about dry, stale, robotic obedience. That's slavery. You can even talk to a soldier. You can talk to military leaders. They understand this. You're going to win a battle. These guys need to be connected with the glory of things. They need to understand the glory of the victory. They need to know that the children that are being set free. They need to know that the chemical warfare that's going on and what it's doing. They need to know that what they're putting their lives on the line for matters. That's why this country struggled with Vietnam. Because the glory departed. The purpose started to crumble and people started to rise up and attack the glory of the thing. Then the soldiers started getting wind of that and the rejection of that. And that got taken away. Then all of a sudden we struggled as a nation in battle. Do you see it? Do you see the importance of submission and the aspect of love? That it needs to be tied to giving and glory. One more, Galatians 4:6. This very much applies to us, so go pass back John, pass Romans, and you're headed into the New Testament letters there. Galatians 4, verse 6. "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts." That same Spirit that was just crying out in Gethsemane that we read about has been sent into your heart. Crying what? "Daddy, this is too tough. Daddy, this is tough, but not my will, yours be done. Daddy, I'm dying. This is tough, but not my will, yours be done. Daddy, this news is tough. But with you, Lord God, for your glory, not my will, yours be done. I'm not going to try to change this, Lord God. I'm not going to produce an Ishmael for my own comfort. I'm going to go through this valley of the shadow. I'm going to go through whatever this is, through this jungle, through this difficulty. Abba, Daddy, I'm going to do it. I'm going to submit. I'm going to submit for the glory, Lord God, of your glory. Thank you, Jesus, for your holiness, the Spirit that cries out in our hearts. The enemy will try to get you to take shortcuts. He was right there. Man, he was right there in Gethsemane. Come on, take a shortcut. Take the shortcut. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured. God's calling us to endure, to persevere. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the ones that would ride their bikes out here to come to a men's Bible study. Even a young man, he's not with us today, that he would come out here 3 weeks in a row riding his bike from Auburn to be part of what's happening here. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you for the one that came here with a headache today. The enduring, the perseverance for the joy that is set before. The one that came here that didn't like the ice, that didn't like what was going on. and just wanted to bury their head in the pillow. Praise God for the endurance and perseverance. And yes, bless those that couldn't make it too, Lord God. They couldn't be with us today. Lord Jesus Christ, we love them. We love them. We love them. You are loved. You are the apple of God's eye. You are under His wing. Why do you think you're alone? Stop thinking that. Stop thinking you're weird, isolated, and different. You already are accepted in the Beloved because of the blood of Christ. It's screaming that to you today. The blood of Christ is declaring that to you today. What else do you want? What other evidence do you want? The evidence is His blood declaring to you that you are accepted in the Beloved, that you were adopted. You are part of His kingdom. You are part of the family. You don't have to prove anything. He's proven it to you. Let Him work the things that He's doing in you. Simply yield and submit to Him. And when you need to, cry out, Abba, Father. Dear Daddy, this is tough. This is hard. But I accept it. I submit to this, Lord God. Help me to endure. For the joy set before us, we endure. Thank you, Lord God, for gathering us today. Just a short message. If I go any further, it won't be right. A lot more material to cover, but it won't be right. I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that it's just a simple message today. Praise you, Lord God. I thank you for the souls, the hearts that are beating out in front of me, including my own, that we're alive. We can experience the fullness of your joy, Lord God. You desire to bless us today with your eyes closed today, with your hearts open. Just start loving the Lord and thanking Him. We're going to sing one more song if Gretchen's got it in her. So open your hearts to Him. Stop seeing with a natural eye and making judgments determined on that. God has called you to another place. You've not been made in the image of something created. You've been made in the image of the eternal. You are very, very, very special. You are very special in the eyes of God. You are the apple of His eye. Know that you are accepted in the Beloved. Allow your heart, the spirit that's inside of you, to cry out, Abba, Father, now as we sing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your thoughts define me. You're inside. Today to love your enemies, to turn the other cheek, to love with the power that comes from on high. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enjoy that.
But I have a special one.
Girl, you got to stay.